This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, a look at Facebook's continued efforts to repair its image. For help, it turns to the UK. What hiring Britain's former deputy prime minister can do for its cause, and where it stands against continued scrutiny. That's after these tech headlines. It is still game on for cities everywhere vying for Amazon HQ2. Amazon execs have made a fresh round of visits to several of the 20 finalists for its second headquarters project, fueling added anticipation as it nears a decision in a process that has stretched over more than a year. The visits over the past couple of months include New York City, Newark, New Jersey, and Chicago. Amazon has been following up with other locations, including Miami and Washington, D.C. The discussions, which follow an initial round of visits earlier this year, have added to the already intense speculation regarding which way Amazon might be leaning. While it appears to be narrowing its list of 20 finalists, it's still unclear which cities may be in the lead. CEO Jeff Bezos still says he will ultimately have a decision by the end of the year. After years of remaining on the stock market sidelines, a number of highly valued Silicon Valley tech companies are now gearing up to go public as soon as next year. Among the IPO candidates are ride-sharing companies Uber and Lyft, and should they follow through, 2019 could be a record-breaking year for IPOs in terms of dollars raised. Other big tech startups on the 2019 IPO shortlist include workplace messaging platform Slack Technologies, Postmates, CrowdStrike Inc., and Zoom Video Communications. Taking stock of growing concern about the need for what they're calling ethical guardrails to keep AI from going off track, Microsoft has created a new position to help companies address a range of political problems, such as bias and transparency. Some industries are facing notable ethical challenges as of late. For example, if a financial services company is considering using AI for loan approvals, the company needs to ensure it's not discriminating against groups of people. And if doctors use AI systems to help provide care, it's important that algorithms can explain how they come to their conclusions. For more on how companies are grappling with the ethical challenges posed by AI, head to WSJ's CIO Journal at WSJ.com. Coming up, a look at where Facebook stands amid continued scrutiny and how it's turning to a UK politician to help repair its image. Facebook has hired one of Britain's best-known politicians, Nick Clegg, who, as Deputy Prime Minister, was Britain's number two leader from 2010 to 2015. He will now serve as top policy and communications executive, thus giving a Silicon Valley outsider the task of mending the social network's image as it deals with constant political scrutiny in the U.S. and abroad. Let's get the latest. Joining us now from our San Francisco bureau is the Wall Street Journal's Deepa Seetharaman. Hey, Deepa.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing better than Facebook, I guess, because it's been hostile times. It's a hostile regulatory environment for tech companies across the board. Not to mention Facebook's dealing with the very aggressive media. The person for this job has a lot on their plate, to say the least. So it's an interesting choice. What made Clegg the right person? What made his resume right for this job?
So there are a couple of different factors that kind of helped push things over the edge for Nick Clegg. First of all, he's an outsider, and this is something that the company has said that they wanted. They wanted somebody who isn't homegrown, hasn't been there a decade. Elliot Schrage and a number of the top Facebook executives have been there for 10 years or longer. It's a 14-year-old company. And they needed somebody who could kind of jolt the system. And so they picked somebody who's an outsider in a number of ways, one of which is, you know, he's not American, which is another distinguishing characteristic from everybody on the executive team. Having said that, I mean, he's liberal, left-leaning, he's a male, he's white. I mean, there's a lot of different other characteristics that make him look very similar to the profile of everybody at Facebook. But those fundamental things, he hasn't been at Facebook for a very long time. And he hasn't been, he hasn't been drinking the Kool-Aid there. And the fact that he's not American.
Well, that actually brings me to my next question, because recently there's a lot of reporting on European regulation, especially by way of general data protection regulation, GDPR. That's the latest cloud from Europe looming over Facebook. Is there hope that this new hire's experience abroad will help with all of those issues?
Yeah, especially his experiences in the EU. This is probably the toughest regulatory fight for Facebook and all the tech companies. There's a real feeling that among European regulators that the tech companies have too much power. And so there is a lot of energy around regulation. You know, GDPR, very tough privacy law in the EU, was passed and went into effect in May. That has changed the way tech companies have had to plan for products and forced them to disclose more information about the kinds of information that they provide to tech companies. His experience and his reputation within Britain's political circles, this is what Facebook is sort of hoping will help the company navigate some of this terrain.
The hits really have just kept coming after the big Cambridge Analytica scandal. You know, there's the most recent breach. That was another big blow to Facebook's rep. It's a, it's a big crisis to contain. So what's going to command the bulk of Nick Clegg's attention on the onset? What's coming up in terms of trips to Washington by way of European regulation, not to mention the other struggles the company's having internally?
I think this is one thing the company keeps saying again and again, is that, yes, in 2016, we were blind to the fact that there was all this malfeasance and all these issues on the platform. We didn't pay enough attention. We thought we had it under control. We didn't. Right. And so that's been the script, especially since last fall when Facebook disclosed that Russian operatives had taken advantage of the platform and created these fake accounts and, used Facebook tools to sow divisions within American society. That incident was a big shift for the company, and it forced them to kind of reckon with all the different ways in which they weren't aware of what was happening on their platform. Cambridge Analytica accelerated that process. And so I think now the company is in a place where they're trying. You know, they have the midterm elections coming up next month. They are in the midst of the Brazilian elections now. They're trying. They have these, they have a war room that they showed reporters this week. They have extensive fact-checking partnerships in multiple countries. And there's a lot of different things they have created to try to show that they are trying to get a handle on it. But the issue is, Facebook is still a system where anyone can post without seeking permission. And it is still a place where, the company is still reticent to take down information just because it's false. Right. So there's a challenge. It's very different from Uber, where there were where it could be interpreted as kind of a management mm-hmm. challenge and a real issue at the top of the company and the executive leadership. This is, there are some elements of that. You can argue that in Facebook's case, but it's a platform issue. The company's technology is built on this idea that sharing should be frictionless and that information flow should be faster and bigger and easier. That information flow is baby photos. That information flow is also Russian-backed propaganda. So, it's a massive structural challenge.
I have a feeling we're going to have a lot more to talk about. In the meantime, listeners can follow the latest by heading to WSJ.com and following Deepa's coverage. Deepa, thank you as always for the latest.
Thank you.
And that is Tech News Briefing, reporting from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.